Let's open with hymn number 56. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you.
And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and bring forth salvation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Heavenly Father, it is meet and right that we should give thanks unto thee that thou hast given us a more glorious baptism than that of John the Baptist, and hast therein promised us the remission of sins, the Holy Spirit, and everlasting life through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Preserve us, we beseech thee, in such faith in thy grace and mercy that we may never doubt thy promise, but be comforted by the same in all temptations. And grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may renounce sin and ever continue in the righteousness bestowed upon us in baptism, until by thy grace we obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this fourth Sunday in Advent is found in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me,
What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of Philippians, the fourth through the seventh verse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here ends the epistle lesson. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the first chapter of John, the 19th through the 28th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn 66. Lesson is found in the first chapter of 1 John, the first through the fourth verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we have now arrived at the end of the Advent season, the time of preparation as we await for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have come to observe this time through the instruction of the Holy Spirit, we cannot but respond to the cry of John the Baptist, who bids us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus approaches. And as he does, the message of John becomes especially pointed. And like anything pointed, we would do well to look where it points, rather than to be fixated upon the pointer itself. John the Baptist suffered this problem as he preached from the hand of others, as certain envoys sent from the Pharisees and the Herodians to question him about his preaching and his baptism came. They were entirely fixated upon John. Who are you? Rather than the one whom John preached. The preaching of John, which we heard in the gospel reading, always pointed away from himself toward Jesus Christ, whom John calls the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And therefore, the only answer to the question that he would give them is, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare for the Lord. There was another John who was with the Baptist at that time, and it is he who writes these things, which we have heard in the gospel and in the epistle text of this sermon. It is especially his work among the things written by all the apostles by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to point to the nature of Jesus and declare his glory to us, so that we might be certain that this Jesus whom we worship is not merely a teacher come from God, but our God himself come to us, our Savior. Indeed, the apostle, just like the Baptist, points away from himself toward the one who, though to all eyes he is a man, is yet our God and Lord. In this way, we can and should be certain that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. We cannot look upon the divine majesty of God and live. But God bids us to come to him in no other way than through the flesh of his Son, Jesus. Even so, it is right that every preacher point away from himself and ever to Jesus, so that their hearers might not think that the Christian faith has to do with charisma or clever stories, but with the God who manifests himself in the flesh of Christ for the salvation of the world. Our conscience tells us that there is a God, and that he's a very great God who watches what men do and passes judgment upon them. And even the idol worshippers believe that beyond their gods of wood and stone, there is an unknown God who created all things. All of the so-called great religions of the world have to do with such a God who is invisible. Islam teaches a God that is indescribable and unknowable. The Eastern religions teach a God that can only be known and experienced apart from all thought and feeling, a God that exists in nothingness. And the common civil religion of our nation is not so different. That nameless religion, which believes nothing in particular about God, but that he is good and that he exists, and they deal with a God that is far removed from men also, although he may well participate in indirect and unseen ways, sometimes what they call divine providence. Or, as the man on the street might express it, God, if you're really out there somewhere, could you lend me a hand now and again? It is true that God is a spirit, and his ways are beyond man's understanding. God never asks us to try to understand him in his glorious nature, his deep wisdom, his unsearchable ways. He has hidden all these things from us, but he has also revealed himself to us in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And therefore, even though we cannot comprehend the majesty of God, all the fullness of God is made accessible to us in the body of his Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we come to know the Father and his Spirit, and not only to know him, but to be made holy and righteous in him, fit to partake of the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Therefore, who is Jesus? What is his nature? The disciple whom Jesus loved at the beginning of his gospel confesses boldly and plainly that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who was made flesh and lived among us. He does this because men would otherwise treat Jesus as nothing but a man, however remarkable a man he might have been. That is how the enemies of Jesus treated him. And therefore John has this particular work of declaring to us the glory and majesty of Jesus, even while it is hidden in human flesh. That truth shines forth on every page of his gospel, just as it does in our sermon text. Before Jesus appeared on the scene, the evangelist John was there with John the Baptist, hearing him declare the one whose coming after him is preferred before him because he was before him. This John became one of the first disciples of Jesus. He was present with Jesus on the mountain where his glory was revealed to human eyes. He saw that glory hidden deep within the human nature of Jesus as he sat at the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified. He saw the blood of Jesus poured out. He was the first of the 12 disciples to arrive at the empty tomb. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the meaning of these things was not lost on him. He recorded them for our benefit. And he ends his gospel with these words, that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so also in our lesson today, he calls Jesus the Word of Life. He himself is life. He gives life for his life for the sins of the world, and he gives his life to you. Our lesson this evening begins as John loves to do at the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of Life. Look at how he describes our Lord. John points to God in the person of Jesus so that you might know that our God is not someone who is far off. He is near among us. We can have fellowship with God because we can have fellowship with Jesus, who is a man as we are. John himself saw him with his eyes. He heard him with his ears. He touched him with his hands. And so when John speaks to you of having fellowship with Jesus and the Father, he's not talking about some fuzzy spiritual experience or emotion or some inner assurance. He means that you yourself can have fellowship with Jesus because Jesus is a man just like you are, with flesh and blood and a human soul, who really did walk on this earth and eat and drink and teach and preach and suffer and die. And he really does give you his body and blood in the Lord's Supper so that you are not dealing with some spiritual remembering but with Jesus himself. You eat his flesh and you drink his blood. And by this you know that he is with you and in you and you in him. He receives you in your flesh and blood, even though you are still a sinner and not worthy or capable of ascending to heaven and experiencing the glory of God. Therefore, he comes down from heaven and he brings his glory to you. The devil hates the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. He despises that God's divine majesty would become man, because in the flesh of a man, Satan's power has been destroyed. The devil finds it very easy to distract you into every sort of spiritual diversion if God for you is just a concept or a feeling, an emotion, a spiritual experience, or even something so banal as a set of coincidences. If your understanding of God stays in your mind and imagination, then the devil can manipulate you every which way and convince you of pretty much anything. So long as God is not concrete for you, Satan can twist even what truth you've learned from the scriptures until it is no truth at all. But that God did not stay a spirit. He did not stay in heaven. He did not stay invisible, incomprehensible to your senses. His Son, who is God with him, became a real man with real flesh and blood. And he walked and he talked and he had friends and disciples and they witnessed real physical events. They heard real spoken words which Jesus preached. They saw real dead people restored to life at the words of Jesus. They saw with their own eyes a living, breathing Jesus standing next to a living and breathing Elijah and Moses on the mountain of Transfiguration. And they learned firsthand what it means that Jesus is the life. For they saw him bleed. They saw his body hanging on a cross. They saw him suffering and give up his last breath. John even witnessed as a soldier pierced the side of Jesus. and saw the blood and water flow from him, a certain sign of death. And they saw the dead body taken from the cross and laid in a tomb, and after 3 days they saw and heard and touched not some spirit, but Jesus. The real Jesus in his flesh and blood, alive, not some weak semblance of a man, but perfectly restored to life, whole and complete. Dear friends, that is the kind of God that we have. A God that appeared to human witnesses in flesh and came back from the dead again before human witnesses who testify of these things to us, so that Satan has no more power over our minds and hearts. Doubt has been banished in the flesh and blood of Jesus. Jesus is God's word of life given to you so that you might have life. The witness of his apostles is the means by which he assures that your joy might be full and certain, so that no matter what lies the devil may concoct, no matter how much evidence men of this world might marshal together to convince you otherwise, none of it can overthrow the fact that God was manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ, and he proved it by his resurrection from the dead. It is his manifestation now that we look for in this Advent season. And we look forward to joining our voices to the voices of the angels, which proclaim not that just some remarkable child had been born, but that God himself had become a child so that he might be the Savior of all men. Do not let anyone steal this joy from you. And when you are in doubt, and when the devil creeps up and whispers in your ear that God is not real, or that he did not do the things that your church teaches you that he did, then I bid you turn once more to the word of life. See for yourselves the eyewitness testimony of real men who saw a real man, Jesus Christ. The word which has been preached to you is not just words on a page, but the living, breathing voice of Jesus himself, who is the word which was with the Father in the beginning, and now he is with you. You can hear his voice. You can see and touch him in the Lord's Supper. You were made his own when you were baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, embrace the word and witness of Christ. Eat his body and drink his blood. Know that your God is not a God afar off, but among you and with you until the end of the world. And knowing this, enter into the days of Christmas with joy in your hearts and a song on your lips, praising the one who has been manifested to you for your salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Restore unto me the joy.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who hast made all things in heaven and earth to serve thy will and to witness to thy glory and goodness, we give thee our humble and joyful thanks for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation thou hast promised for all men in him. With contrite hearts we turn to thee, O God. We acknowledge our transgressions and confess that we have failed to do the good which we ought to have done, and that we have done the evil which we ought not to have done. Awaken us to our need of daily repentance and renewal. Grant us the remission of all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ and his merits, that we may have that peace which passes all understanding. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Sanctify the words of our lips by the indwelling of Christ our Lord. Perfect in purity and holiness the works of our hands by obedience to thy word. And now in the assurance that thou art nigh to all who call upon thee in truth, we pray for all men everywhere. Let thy spirit prevail in every home and school, in every shop and store, and in every kind of labor or industry. Show forth thy honor and glory to the nations of the earth. Overthrow all who would hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. Support and preserve all who are persecuted for his name's sake. Be with the homeless, the fatherless, the comfortless, and help them in their affliction to trust in thee, sending them such deliverance as shall turn their hearts and bring them to a confession of that name which is above every name, Jesus Christ. Make thy face to shine upon the wounded in spirit, the sick in mind, and the distressed in heart. Accompany all who are away from home in any service or calling with thy light and love. Send thine aid and comfort to the captives, the desolate, and all who are in peril of life or soul. Be gracious unto the sick and aged, those who anguish, the dying, and those who mourn their passing. Lift up thy countenance upon them and give them the perfect peace of thy holy child Jesus. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we might receive by faith and with thanksgiving the gift that no words can describe, Jesus Christ our Lord. Make our hearts his dwelling place, that we may know the joy of his presence, the blessing of following in his steps, and the glory of that crown which he has promised to all who are his in steadfastness of faith and life. In his name, amen. We sing hymn 61.
Raise the best away.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he cometh again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ,
the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, how blessed thou my servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 62. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Good morning.